This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Listening to Place Nation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Welcome back to another great episode here on The Great Debate, here on the PTVN Buffet. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you very much for joining us tonight. We got a great lineup of, actually a lot of debuting guests tonight on my shows, and one returning guest. He's like an itch I can't get away, like a fungus, but, you know, hey. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to first, you know, if you listened before, we talk a little sports, and then we move on to pop culture later on in the show. But, you know, enough of my little spiel here. Let's get the panel introduced and get this show on the road. First off, he is the host of 90s to Nothing. He is one of the Sarcastic Four on the Marvel Age podcast and the host of DC Post Crisis Management, Mr. Russell Sellers. Russell, thank you for joining me tonight here on The Great Debate.
I appreciate you reading my resume to the people.
Well, the people are important.
Yes. I appreciate that plug for all my shows.
Yes. It seems like that's a theme here on the pop feed. Many of us have many shows.
It kind of is. We're all just whoring each other out.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep it in the family.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Also joining us tonight, he is the host of Sunday Groove, Mr. David Sunday. David, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. I'm a whore, but I guess not at the Place to Be Nation Pop yet.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you there. Doesn't, you know, keep try again, you know, keep on going. All right, cool. Also joining us tonight, he has appeared on Sunday Groove with Mr. Sunday. He has been on The Great Debate before, actually my premiere episode. He was last heard on the Oscars Pod Blast with myself, Miss Miranda Berthold. And who else was on that show? I'm trying to remember who else was on that show. Oh, Mr. Andrew Reich. That's right. How could I forget Reich? Awesome dude. Awesome dude. Sorry, Andrew, if you're listening. Mr. Jason Sherman. Jason, thank you for joining us tonight.
I'm happy to be back on my second appearance on this wonderful podcast.
Yes, you are tied with Jordan Duncan now for most appearances on The Great Debate. All right.
Nothing's
also
going down.
I know. It all goes down the road from here. All right. Also, making his Place to Be Nation debut. That's right. You guys have never heard this voice before. You probably heard him referred to as Pate when me and my year and pop co-host Scott Criscolo get on the shows together. But let's everybody give him a warm welcome and please be gentle. Mr. Steve and Patty. Steve, thank you for joining us tonight.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. All right, you're welcome, Steve. I'm glad you could join us tonight, making your debut here. So, guys, let's get into it, shall we? Trying to get my notes up. I had them up, but now I got a stupid word. Anyway, so we're going to start with the sports segment here. And the first question usually is something we talk about in the all four major sports. So what are your feelings on the playoff formats in the major sports leagues? So in the NFL, you know, what are your feelings on the wild card setup? Should the team with the better record have home field advantage regardless of whether they won the division or not? Russell, you're a Falcons fan, right? Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
All right.
That is absolutely correct.
So what do you think about the NFL playoff format as it is?
Oh, I'm fully in favor of the wild card. Of course, as a Falcons fan, I would be. Yeah, some days it's our, you know, some seasons it's been our only shot at getting in. And, you know, I feel like it makes things more interesting, and it gives those teams on the bubble a shot at actually, you know, getting to the big game, because just because they get into the playoffs doesn't necessarily mean that they are the absolute best teams. I feel like, you know, on any given Sunday, you know, somebody could be a hero. And I kind of feel like, you know, that wild card position gives all those teams a shot.
So, do you think, say there's a wild card team that finishes like, you know, 11-5 because they were in like the tough division, and there's one that a division winner that gets in 9-7. Who should have the home field? Should it be the division winner, or should it be the team with the best record?
You know, I kind of feel like the team who won their division should get the home field advantage, but there again, what if you played in a lousy division that year? So, I can see that going both ways, honestly. I can see both sides of the argument, but I do tend to lean towards, hey, you won your division, you get home field advantage. It keeps things, just like the wild card itself, interesting.
Yeah. All right, cool. Jason, you're a Patriots fan, correct?
That is true.
And coming from a Giants fan, we all know about any given Sunday.
Yeah.
And twice. So what's your feelings on the current NFL format for the playoffs?
I'm okay with the way it is, actually. I do think, though, that the teams with the better record should have home field advantage. I mean, they earned it. They got all those wins.
Yeah. It's not their fault. Not their fault they're in a strong division.
Exactly. And it's not, I mean, if a division's terrible, you get in on a technicality. Some of these teams do. But they do still deserve to be there. I mean, you have to win the division to get in. You know,
yeah, I agree.
But I do feel the team with the better record should have home field.
Yes, okay. Steve, fellow Giant fan of mine, somebody I've actually been to many Giant games with. What's your feelings on the NFL playoff format?
I forgot what the playoffs are. I mean, just being a Giant fan. But seriously, I think.
Oh, that's good.
You know, these technicalities usually work themselves out by the second week. Like the better team usually wins, no matter. But I think it's. You can't really say, well, their division is weaker, but this guy won, so we got to change it around. I think you got to stick with the rule, and usually the better team wins, especially in football.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, does home field really advantage in football, I think, more than other sports?
Like it's definitely more. I think basketball is definitely a bigger favor. And then when you're talking, like, you know, with baseball, especially at the World Series, when you have the DH, it's definitely a factor.
Yeah.
Well, I think certain teams will have a home field advantage in football, like the Seahawks.
Or the Packers, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are just tough places to play if you're a visitor.
That's true.
All right. Well, Steve mentioned it. Let's talk about the MLB. We'll start with you, Steve, actually. How do you feel about the one-game wildcard playoff, and should the DH be in both or neither of the league home games?
Okay. I like the one game, you know, playoff because it allows, you know, what it does, it gives you teams are much less quick to really sell off their players. So you got more teams, you know, not tanking and still trying to be competitive. And I think that's good for the game. And I think that's good for the fans.
Yeah.
You know, the DH, the only place where the DH is not is in the National League. You know, the Little League has a DH. I believe Little League has a DH now, right?
I don't know. My son didn't really play Little League.
I think the DL is definitely going to be a way of life in the National League. And, you know, even like the executives think that when the Mets made that deal for Cano, they thought they had a feeling that the DL was coming. And the same thing with the Phillies and Bryce Harper.
Yeah, yeah, the DH is definitely, I mean, I grew up a Yankee fan like you did, and we're, you know, when you're an American League fan, you know, I think it's just the advantage because, you know, you lose one of your better hitters when you're an American League team, as well as the National League pitchers are so more used to hitting that I think the National League has such an advantage when it comes to Interleague and the World Series, while this Fakakta rule that there's a DH only in one league. It's either have them in both or have them in neither.
And the Ming Wong.
Yeah, and the players union will never let that go away because it's jobs. You know, it's longevity for players. Russell, what do you think? Are you a Braves fan?
Yeah, I guess I would say that would be the team that I'd spent the most time as a fan of. When it comes to MLB, it's really not one that I keep up with all that regularly until the postseason when things finally get interesting. Being down here in the South, it's not really our thing, you know, because the Braves haven't been good since the 90s. So that's just something we deal with. But as far as the one game rule is concerned, I'm in favor of that, actually. It keeps things moving. And there are already so many games. It'd be it'd be tough to extend it out unless you want to start, say, shortening the regular season, or maybe, hey, let's shorten preseason for God's sake, because I can't tell you what's more tedious, watching paint dry or watching preseason baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough call on these two things. So if you were to, say, shorten preseason and you wanted to add another wild card game, okay, fine. But, you know, you got to balance it out somehow.
Yeah.
And as far as DH, I got no qualms with that. You know, put it in both leagues or take it away. But I think it should be even on both sides.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I watch spring training baseball only because it's a sign, like, you know, all you guys are down in the South. But it's so cold up here, and it's so miserable that spring training baseball always, like, kind of, like, makes you feel warmer for some reason. It's just like you vicariously living through all those people down there, like, just sitting there. So,
yes,
it's cold here right now too.
It's not, well, you know, it's in the 20s right now up here. So, Steve, you're not missing much.
30 over here.
Oh, wah. So, Jason, what about you? What about you for MLB?
I'm okay with the way the playoffs are set up. I did like when they added the one game playoff. I thought that gave another team a shot. It's so hard in compared to other sports to get in the playoffs in baseball. There's just such a limited window, you know?
Yeah.
As far as the DH, I've always thought it should be in both leagues. Always, going back to when I was a kid. Who wants to see, you know,
pitchers?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, Noah Syndergaard's huge, but is he, I'd rather see, you know, like Robinson Cano out there swinging a bat.
Yeah, I mean, I get the strategy thing for it, but yeah, I just rather see a DH, to be quite honest. You know, yeah. I love pitchers' duels and all that stuff, but I just want it to be even. That's kind of what the gist is. And to go back what Steve talked about with players, teams selling off players, I actually think they should move the trading deadline back, because since they had the wild card, they didn't. And, you know, what these teams, you know, need to, you know, I don't know, maybe that, or some people like the strategy, because you really have to make that decision by July 31st if you're going to go or you're not going to go.
Hold it or fold it.
Yeah. All right, so Steve, you're a big basketball guy. So they still do best of five in the opening round of the playoffs, right? In basketball?
No, it's best of seven.
Oh, okay. So one problem I have with NBA playoff basketball though is the long stretches between games sometimes. So how can that be corrected? What do you think?
You know, it's TV revenues are driving it. That's your problem. I mean, that's your problem. I hate it. I think it should be like the next night or give a one day break.
Yeah, it should be day on, day off.
I think the last couple of years it's gotten better that way. Mm. But I would also change the. I would go the first round again to be best of five, because I think the last couple of years the playoffs have been brutal. Mm. We're just waiting for Cleveland and Golden State.
Oh, okay, yeah. Russell, you a basketball guy?
I do watch occasionally, and I'm going to agree with the sentiment that it should go back to five.
Yeah,
like seven is it's a lot like baseball. Basketball and baseball have a lot in common there, in that there are just so many games, and extending the playoffs to, you know, best of seven, I think that was a mistake. I think they should just go back to five, give these players a little bit more time to rest up and to heal up, because it's, I mean, they're kind of counting on that break whenever they get it, but, you know, extending this out to that many more games, you're risking a lot. These players are risking a lot to their careers, putting so much wear and tear on themselves with no break.
Yeah, and also, you know, you have teams that, like, sit around and they, like, you know, a hot team gets cooled off, and you have teams that are go. Jason, what about you with playoff basketball?
I'm not the biggest basketball fan around. I used to be in the 90s.
It's okay.
Let it stay. Yeah. Let it go to five. I mean, who really thinks, like, anyone's going to beat the Warriors in the first round anyway?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sometimes it's just a given on who's going to make it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, we got any NHL fans besides me on the show tonight? Steve, you still watching the Rangers?
No.
No, okay. So we'll.
I can't. I mean, considering there are teams in cities that even though I had teams, you know, I'm useless on this conversation. Sorry.
Yeah, you never thought there'd be a team in Columbus or a team in Nashville, but yeah, no team in like you know certain like well, Seattle's getting a team, which is good. For me, you know, yeah, I haven't watched hockey as much as I should have been the last few years because I used to be a huge Rangers fan. Well, I still am a huge Rangers fan. But, yeah, I mean,
that was my team, too, when I watched.
I think there should be reseeding, though, in hockey. You know, some. I mean, I don't know. So it, you know, it kind of falls on what side do you think? You get the draw you get, or should the, you know, the teams that finished higher get the lower seeded teams as, like, you know, a reward? That's true for any playoff, I guess, any scenario. David, I know you're not a huge sports guy, but do you watch any playoff sports at all?
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, like when I was in the 90s, I watched, you know, the Braves baseball, as Russell talked about back when they were good. But that was it.
Yeah, when the Yankees beat them. Oh, anyway. All right. So, David, though, we're going to start with you. We're going to talk about stadiums and arenas for a minute. Give me a stadium or arena you always wanted to, you know, see a game or a concert at.
Wrigley Field has always just stood out to me. Just it has a unique look. And I remember back when I did watch baseball thinking that was so cool. And I know a couple years ago, the Foo Fighters did a show there. So I thought that would have been kind of cool to see a show there.
Yeah, Wrigley looks Mr. Steve Willie's team, the Cubs. Yeah, they're that was on one of my answers also because like those historic stadiums, you know the Ivy and all that. You know, that would be a great place to see a show or a game. Jason, what about you?
Well, I'm gonna pick one that's no longer around that I never got to go to. I always wanted to go to Shea.
Why?
And I'm I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah. I've been to Shea. Oh God!
I've always wanted. That was my. You know, with the apple in the middle and the blue. It was. Yeah. You know, I watched as a kid. I grew up with it.
I gotta tell you though, Steve and I went to a game at Citi Field.
I have to.
Yeah. So it was. That's a gorgeous stadium.
Citi Field is gorgeous.
Yeah, Citi Field's great, but I never got to experience it. I would have liked to have gone once.
Mm.
I'm sure it was a shithole, but I would have liked to.
Well, it's kind of like old Yankee Stadium. You know, we loved that stadium, but the new Yankee Stadium, oh my God.
It was bad.
Well, no. I mean, it was, there was something about Yankee Stadium, the original, mm-hmm. that was, you know, we all grew up going to it, but it was so tight to move around in a lot of areas. That's like the big thing about the new Yankee Stadium. It's so wide open.
It's all about concourses.
Yeah, huge concourses, but down on the field when you're looking at the field and you hear the certain you know music that the organist plays and you do feel like you're in the same stadium you were in 20 years ago. Hmm. It's just when you go up from your seat, then you're like, oh, I'm in a brand new place.
Well, as far as current stadiums go, one classic one I've always wanted to go to, and I'm sure all you Yankee fans are going to love this. Actually, Rosero is going to love both my answers here. I'd love to go to Fenway.
So would I.
Just because it's Fenway.
Inconspicuously.
Exactly. And obviously Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, go Pats.
There you go.
I'll tell you, Foxborough Stadium. You haven't – Foxborough Stadium in its day was something special.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I'm like, this is really the stadium?
Oh man!
Play here. Like ported, like there were no bathrooms. There were porta johns, and like, you know, yeah, it was bad. I've never been to a Gillette Stadium.
Gillette looks like a masterpiece.
A lot of the new ones are. I mean, I've been to my parents have a place in Fort Myers, and I've been to JetBlue Stadium. There wasn't a game. There was like it was the opening of the you know spring training a few years ago. And that place is great. I mean, it's like a mini Fenway, as I imagine what Fenway is like.
Yeah, no, I've seen pictures of it. That's crazy.
I didn't get over to the Twins facility, but you know that's a little older. Russell, what about you? What's a stadium you'd like to go to or an arena?
Well, I'll actually be going to my top one this coming up May. I'm going to go to Wrigley Field and watch Cubs game.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be fun. And it's going to be my first time ever visiting Chicago, so I'm really looking forward to that. But other than that, I would say that I would love to go to the O2 Arena in London.
Oh yeah,
because that it is just it just looks amazing from all the concert footage I've seen from it, and the acoustics in there are tremendous. So I would love to watch just about anything in there.
Very cool. I didn't even think of that. I would have said Wembley too.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm jealous of your answer, Russell. That's why I completely blanked on.
Now, Russell, you have the Falcons play in a new stadium. It's Mercedes-Benz
Stadium, the best football stadium in America.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. Right now, I'm playing as the Falcons in our PTBN Madden League, so I get to see a virtual version of it every week.
So I have a question. Yeah. Does anyone else besides the Falcons play there?
The Atlanta soccer team plays there. As well as the SEC championship game is held there every year, so you get pretty regular football and soccer played.
Well, I was just kind of curious, considering the major tenant is a football team, as to why Chick-fil-A decided to put a franchise in there.
You know, we were wondering that the first day we walked in. We were like, "Huh, there's Chick-fil-A here. Is it ever going to actually be open?" No. And I gotta be honest, man. It would be the worst food in there because the rest of the dining options are vastly superior. Wow. I actually really love that stadium for that fact that the food is good. It's way cheaper than pretty much any other football stadium I've ever been in, college or pro, and the drinks are also like very reasonably priced. It's like they're playing against type with That's this awesome. Stadium. So yeah, it's great. I love going to the Falcons games every year. I plan to make sure I get to at least one or two every season.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blank. Steve, what about you? What's a stadium you've always wanted to go to?
I'd love to go to AT&T Stadium and see the giant scoreboard. Yeah.
Jerry's World.
There, and I'd like to go to Arizona.
Where the Diamondbacks play?
I've been where the Diamondbacks play. That's an interesting build. No, the football stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just watch how the field comes out, how they slide the field out of the building. I think that's just cool.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what the Vegas football stadium looks like when the Raiders move. I mean, for me, I had down, the old standbys, Fenway, Wrigley, Staples Center. I'd like to, because of all the, things that have happened there. I mean, that's the, where the Lakers play. And it just looks like a cool place to see anything because you never know who you might see in the crowd, too. I mean, we have that at the Garden here, but, I got to tell you, MetLife, finally went to a game at MetLife Stadium a few years ago. And it was really nice, even though we were 10 rows from the top, because I grew up going to Giant Stadium basically like at least four or five times a season. My dad had season tickets until they announced they were building a new stadium, and it was $40,000 would have been to keep his tickets because of the PSLs. Right? That was it? Steve, the PSLs were 40? Yeah.
I think they were 10 grand a piece.
Yeah, and the seats were on the 37th row on the 5-yard line on the visitor side. So it was sweet, but so Russell, you were talking about food a minute ago. What's some of your favorite things to eat at a game?
There are so many, but I think if you're going to get down to like what I think would probably be the best stadium food, mm-hmm. I think you got to give it to the corn dog.
Oh, okay.
It's a deep fried. It's rolled in great cornmeal batter, deep fried. And what's so great about it is that It's meat and bread on a stick. what else do you need? You can eat this without like really bothering people sitting next to you. You don't really have to worry about this making a mess. I mean, I love barbecue nachos as much as anybody, but that shit's gonna get everywhere.
Oh wow, that's a hell of a thing. What's the go to thing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Honestly, I've had the barbecue nachos there, and they're pretty great. So, I got to tell you, those
were they from Chick-fil-A?
They were decidedly not. I believe these were Jim and Nick's, actually, and that was another thing that I was happy to see in inside Mercedes-Benz was a full menu service Jim and Nick's, and it's freaking awesome.
Andy, cool. When you come down here, we're going to Jim and Nick's.
Okay. I am like sitting there like, what the hell is Jim and Nick's?
Yeah, I don't know. Jim and Nick's barbecue is something you definitely need to try if you're going to visit Alabama. Or somewhere in the South. Go for it.
All right. Sounds good.
I don't understand. I'm more South than you are. I don't know. I don't know.
You're in Florida. That's not the South.
I know. I get it.
It's an Alabama thing, y'all.
Florida has been excommunicated from the South. So, yeah.
I don't know about that. I think anything above like Orlando, it still belongs to you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to unfortunately own that. Central and North Florida are still pretty much just extensions of Alabama and Mississippi.
we get Orlando and down. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Jason, what about you? What's your go-to stuff at a game or an arena?
You know, I got to say, I like those garlic French fries from Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And then the giant bucket of French fries and chicken fingers at Yankee for $30. That was a big hit for the girls.
Yeah, I remember doing that for my kids. Remember when we went to Citi Field, that was Shake Shack was still a relatively new thing. And they had a that fucking line did not go down once.
No.
At that point.
But it gave us an excuse to try the deep fried barbecue bologna sandwich.
Yes.
Holy God, I had no desire to ever go to Yankee Stadium until just this moment.
Well, that's Citi Field, actually.
That's where?
Citi Field with the Mets play.
Citi Field. Okay, well, I mean, I ain't got nothing against the Mets. Let's go.
Yeah, Steve, we had a really great seat. Steve used to own a Wayback Burgers place, and one of his the guy who took care of your oil or whatever gave you seats, and we were literally, like, turn around. We're what, like 17th row behind the dugout, and we turn around and there's all these beautiful women with huge rings on their fingers. So I just look at the security guard and I go, "Player's wives?" He goes, "Yep." I said, "Okay." But yeah, I wasn't looking
at the rings.
But we spent like a good like two innings just exploring and trying food. That's like
the
fun part.
I really wonder where you were going with that for a second. Oh. You said, we turned around and saw these women with these giant. What's he about to say?
Well, that was true too.
I'm right there with you, Russell.
All right, all right, David. What do you like to eat when you go to a stadium or an arena?
It's been so long, but I guess I'll just be generic and go with the hot dog.
Nothing beats a hot dog.
That's what I used to get.
Yeah, they taste different though, no matter where you go. It's just sometimes, you know, for us up here. You know, being in the Bronx, you always had to get that Italian sausage sandwich. You know, that little premio.
Oh, that does sound good.
Oh, it is. It's so good. It's like, you look at the hot dog and like, I can get that anywhere. You're like, I can get, you know, Italian sausage some places, but it just always tastes better at a stadium. You know? What about you, Jason?
Well, living in South Florida, I mean, I know that a lot of baseball stadiums and football stadiums have like specialty food. Like each stadium has something special.
Mm-hmm.
Down in South Florida, it's all like Cuban food. Oh. Like, oh, here, have this Cuban sandwich, as opposed to the Cuban sandwich you can get at Publix, the Cuban sandwich you can get at literally every restaurant down here. So, I have to be pretty generic here and go like chili cheese dog or nachos, because there's nothing super special about anything down here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I remember one thing I used to love, and they stopped making them, and CM Punk once mentioned them, was those WWF ice cream bars.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys ever had those.
I believe I did.
Those were so good. I mean, we had a friend of ours that would get one every time we went to a show. He didn't go to watch wrestling. He always went to eat.
One thing that is cool about Florida Marlins games, because, you know, no one ever goes ever. on Saturdays, every Saturday game, you can get a ticket in two particular sections, and it's all you can eat.
Oh.
All you can eat hot dogs, nachos, peanuts, popcorn, and sodas.
Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah. So whenever the Mets come down here on a Saturday, I'll tend to go. Those will be the only games I go all year.
All right. David, now, what's a song that when you hear played at a stadium or arena gets you pumped up?
Well, back years ago, I used to be Crazy Train, but now maybe do they still play AC/DC You Shook Me very much at games?
Sometimes,
or,
yeah.
Or just any AC/DC song I could go with.
Well, for Giant fans, they always play Back in Black. No, not Back in Black. Hell's Bells.
Okay, oh yeah, that's awesome.
So you would hear, and you knew shit was about to go down, basically.
You mean Eli was about to throw an interception?
How many times did we beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Jason?
Hey, listen.
All right, well, you're going to talk the talk. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, so...
lucky some days.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So give us a song that gets you all pumped up when you're at a stadium or an arena.
Well, I'm sure David knows my answer to this. That would be Machine Head from Bush, and that's pretty much played at every game I've ever gone to in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit over time.
I hear it on TV when I'm watching games on TV.
Yeah, that's true. Russ, what about you?
Natural by Imagine Dragons. I'm totally kidding.
I know, I was like, what?
I like to hear the silence that follows that statement, because it's awful. My God, did ESPN ever run that one into the ground this past season?
Oh yeah,
and it wasn't good to begin with. No, a little
thunder,
a little thunderstruck, yeah. is never a bad thing. But you know, some stuff that doesn't get played that I would like to hear that I think would be great, at least, you know, when they play the little snippets of things, because, you know, you never get the full song. You just get a little bit of it. A little Blind from Korn, or how about Sleep Now in the Fire from Rage Against the Machine?
Oh, yeah.
Both of those have great opening build-ups that are like excellent for that kind of setting.
Oh, yeah, it's like that feeling that they try to invoke. You know, Steve, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Butterfly by Crazy Town, aren't you?
Who let the dogs out? Woof.
Well, that's a reference to when we had season tickets to the New York, New Jersey Hitmen of the first iteration of the XFL. They used to play that all the time, and then the gorgeous Hitmen cheerleaders would get up and start dancing, but it was so damn cold that they never opened their coats.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the XFL coming back, if it ever actually does. I would totally go to watch something.
Yeah, we had great seats, but it wasn't great football.
And back then, they didn't serve beer during the games either.
Because of Jet fans at Giant Stadium. There was like, I think I told this on a previous show, but there was like a Monday night football game between like the Dolphins and the Jets, and the... I guess the Dolphins were kicking the crap out of them, and the fans kind of like rioted somewhat. It was like painter's cap night, and they were burning painter's caps and throwing them down those spiral things that, you know, where everybody throws the change and then people jump in there, try to get it, and try to douse them with beer, kind of thing. So yeah. So Steve, seriously though, what songs do you get you pumped up at a stadium or arena?
You know, being an old Yankee fan, you know, Enter Sandman was.
Yep.
When you knew, like, when you hear that and you knew Mariano was coming out, there was nothing like it.
No. No, it just, you knew the game was over, basically. Yeah, so I actually had that. I also had I had Hell's Bells, and I also had Rock and Roll Part 1. Because that goes back years ago when you started hearing that. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Hey! Dun, dun,
dun. Do they still play it, though? Isn't that guy like a creep?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of
creeps. Gary Glitter, he's in jail, yeah.
I'd hope so.
Well, yeah, he got into a little bit of trouble.
A little bit.
You know, Teenage Wasteland from The Who is also a really good one.
Oh, yeah, nice.
That's another one of those that just builds and builds and builds and has this like great intro that'll definitely get the crowd going.
Yeah, or...
So you got me thinking out...
Go ahead.
I'm thinking outside the box. When,
Baby Sharks could start getting played.
Oh God, no!
Any day now.
It's coming.
Well, when you watch Major League, and you hear Wild Thing play, I mean, that kind of gets you pumped up, even though you're not actually at that game. What I mean, it's also we're all wrestling fans here. It also goes back to that, you know, that pop you hear. You know,
that's great use of that song in that movie.
Yes, yes. All right, cool. So speaking of sports movies, we'll go to Jason because I'm sure it's going to be the Mighty Ducks. But what's your favorite sports movie you consider underrated?
I'm not that predictable. Although I do love the Mighty Ducks. I don't think it's underrated, though.
No, it's not. It's a great movie. Yeah. I still think Little Giants is better, but that's another debate.
Wrong. If there was three Little Giants movies, then I'd give you your argument, but there's not.
I don't even count that third Ducks movie.
You should. Anyway, so you have The Sandlot, which is huge.
Okay.
And you have Rookie of the Year, which is huge.
Okay.
Around that time, there was a third kid involved in baseball movie that I loved and I think is better than both of those, and that would be Little Big League.
Oh, yeah. It's a good flick.
It really is.
That is a good movie.
Yeah, you have...
You even had Kevin Elster in there.
Yes, he was. Kevin Elster was in there also. I forgot the actor's name, but Taggart.
Timothy Busfield?
No. Well, he was fine. He dated the mother, right? Yeah. No, I was thinking about Taggart from Beverly Hills Cop. He played... I think he was the bench coach.
The bullpen coach.
Yeah, he was one of the coaches, yeah.
John Ashford.
Yeah, and then also, I don't know his name, but the guy
Jonathan
who...
Jonathan Silverman?
Yeah, Jonathan Silverman was in it. Yeah, he played like a jokester, relief pitcher. No, the guy who played Jerry, he was in... That guy's been in like so many movies. He was in Necessary Roughness. He played Stonehands. Oh. Don't throw it to Stonehands!
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that.
You don't remember that one?
I know what it is.
Oh, Scott Bakula still has a year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Dennis Freer. No, Dennis Freer wasn't in that one.
He was in Little Big League.
He was in Little Big League, that's right.
He got fired.
Yeah, he was the original manager, and then he named himself. And Jason Robards won probably one of his last movies.
I think it was.
Yeah. All right.
Chris Berman's cameo.
That's right. Russell, what about you?
Basketball.
Oh, yes.
Tim Cable would love that.
Yes, that's right.
I'm only half joking, but yeah, that is a good one. It's definitely underrated, but for like a legit sports movie that I think is vastly underrated, The Replacements.
Oh, you stole my answer.
You stole mine as well.
It's just a great football flick. It might be my favorite football flick ever. I mean, Keanu Reeves is great in it. Orlando Jones kind of steals the show.
Yeah.
Really they hate that guy's career just kind of bottomed out. John Favreau's in that movie, and he's really funny.
Give me the ball. Danny, don't kill somebody. Yeah. And Faison Love is awesome in that, too.
He is. It turns out to be, this all-star cast of, hey, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the guy from The Office, the one who dated Pam, is in it, too.
Yep. There's just so much to love about this movie. It's a great sports comedy that didn't get nearly enough love back in 2000. It kind of got overshadowed by a lot of other movies that were coming out around that time, and surprisingly, it didn't do any better than it did because Keanu Reeves was coming off of The Matrix, and that his star was kind of at its all-time high right around then. So you thought it would have been a bigger hit, but I guess people just wanted more of him in an action role rather than playing the comedy. But he was actually pretty good at it in this movie. I really bought into him as the straight man hero of this film. So yeah, pretty easy answer for me. Replacements, great flick.
Yeah, I would love to go with Shane Falco. Cool, Steve. What about you?
I'm going to say Wildcats or Goldie Hawn is a really underrated one.
That's a good movie. That's a fun movie.
Yeah, that's a lot of, very early Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes in there.
You couldn't make that movie today, but yeah.
Yeah. Go block the ball, Finch.
and I still love, I still love Major League. League of Their Own.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great. I think it's a great film. It gets overlooked as far as sports movies go sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Dave?
Underrated though?
I don't think that's underrated at all. I think that A League of Their Own is like a real classic that pretty much everyone who's ever seen it loves it, and a lot of people have seen that movie.
Yeah. Steve just wanted to show it some love on the show.
That's fair. I agree. It deserves love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's awesome.
David, did you have another one before Russell stole ours?
Well, I was thinking of this one already, and I have no clue if it holds up. But at the time, I really liked Hardball with Keanu Reeves, mm-hmm. The baseball drama he did.
Yeah, Jordan Duncan would appreciate this answer.
Yeah,
and it looks like Michael B. Jordan was in it, actually. So that's interesting.
Really?
Back when he was a child, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I've actually never seen that movie, but what was the movie with The Rock where he played the football player?
Red Iron Gang.
No. The other one with the little girl.
The Game Plan.
The Game Plan. That was not a bad movie. I think I took my daughter's.
I like Red Iron Gang.
Mm-hmm. Or The Game Plan.
Yeah.
I like Game Plan a good bit.
Yeah, it was cute.
You know, also.
Who was that? It was the guy, his buddy, in it.
Oh, God. Now you're going to make me pull a Criscolo and start calling stuff up on IMDb? let me see if
I... really known actor. It's going to annoy me.
Oh, it was... God, it was... what the hell is his name? What's happening?
Hold on. I'm right here. Here it is. Morris Chestnut.
Oh, Morris Chestnut. All right, so I'm going to mention one more movie, and then we'll... what did I have? Oh, there was a movie called Long Gone. It was an HBO original movie where William Pearson played like a player coach for the Tampico Stogies down in Florida. I don't know if anybody here has actually ever seen it.
What is it?
It's called Long Gone.
No, I've never even heard of it.
You should... I don't know if it's available anywhere. Maybe it's on HBO Go, but I would look it up. It's a fun movie. And then, I was also going to say, Major League 2 actually is not terrible. And a few other movies. So,
how has no one said Major League Back to the Minors?
Because it wasn't that good. That's why.
Scott Bakula, come on.
All right, cool. So, Steve, are you still on?
Maybe lost
him. All right. Well, Steve had to go. He's got three daughters at home, and I guess duty calls. So that's going to wrap up the sports segment. Awesome job, guys. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little pop culture. So thank you to Steve for making his debut, even though it was a short one. And I'm hanging here with Russell Sellers, Jason Sherman, and David Sunday. I am Andy Atkins. And stick around, because we'll be right back with some pop culture debates. Because... ever since you've been around, you're the woman that I want, so you're putting it down. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, you're my pretty baby, you'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.ProBoards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Police TV Nation, welcome back to the Great Debate number 4. I'm your host, Andy Atherton, and we're going to talk some pop culture here with Russell Sellers, David Sunday, and Jason Sherman. But first, let's talk about PoliceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. That's right, the website is back. We're still trying to get our content up on there. We have Wednesday, Glenn Butler of the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, his Wednesday Walk on the Web. That will be back, so make sure every Wednesday you want to see some unique and cool stories from across the World Wide Web. Come on and click through. But also, we also have a veritable plethora on two feeds of podcasts. Here on the PTBN Pop feed, we had a busy week with a little something for everyone. Russell, you the Marvel Age podcast with the Sarcastic Four, you covered the second half of 1969.
It's a veritable heaven of comics content.
Veritable, yes. Marvel Age Masterclass with Mr. Ben Morris. He was joined by Todd Weber to recap the first half of 1969. The premiere episode of my new show, my latest one, Laughing Theater, with my Place to Be Nation pop, Year in Pop co-host Scott Criscolo. We watched the classic comedy Caddyshack. It was a lot of fun to revisit that show, that movie. I could just watch that basically every day and just never get tired of it. The Hard Traveling Fanboys are back with a new Long Book Hunters as they dive into the death of Captain Marvel and a brand new Talking Pop featuring Tim and Jenny. They suffered for your entertainment with a live watch of My Father the Hero. And over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, sorry, I'm so used to saying pop feed, over on the wrestling one, JT and Chad return with the new Wrestling Warzone podcast as they dig into the 12/11/95 week of TV, including the Go Home Raw before In Your House number 5. Scott, Nate, and Steve were back at the newest main event, delving into the top news of the week in WWE, and then heading back in time with this month's classic New Japan Watch match review, and the debut of a brand new pod blast series, What If Wrestling, featuring Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. In the premiere installment, the boys dove into what would have happened if Ric Flair joined the WWF in 1988. So also, just be sure to check out PoliceToBeNation.com as March rolls around with all of our great content going up there. And finally, be sure to like the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page so you can participate in the daily polls as we determine which candy is indeed the greatest of all time. Things will kick off March 10th with a champion crown on Easter Sunday. So basically, it's 128 candies divided into four divisions of 32. We got candy bars, we got chocolate candies, we got sugary sweets, and we got sweet treats. What do you guys, have you guys checked out anything going on with over the candy tournament that's starting this week?
I have not, but if I were to just go ahead and put it out there, the Crunch Bar is the greatest candy bar ever made.
Yeah, all right. That's
I'm just gonna. I make bold claims, and then I will change my mind to Kit Kat tomorrow, and I defy you to tell me I can't do it.
Well, I can look through the seedings really quick, and I can tell you that the Nestle Crunch is the number 5 seed in the candy bar, and the Kit Kat is also a very, very good pick. They're number 2. Snickers. Oh,
see, I can pick a winner.
Yeah, Snickers is the number 1 seed over in that one. And Reese's is the number 1 seed.
Snickers is overrated, not yeah. Reese's.
Oh, okay. No, I agree.
Now, Reese's is a number 1 seed all the way.
They're the number 1 seed in the chocolate candies region because it's technically not a candy bar.
This is true.
Fair.
You know, the tournament committee went on that, you know, had a debate about that one. But, and then we had over in the sugary snacks, we have Starburst as number 1 seed.
Yeah. Overrated.
Yeah. And then sweet treats, we have Jolly Ranchers as number 1 seed.
Yeah. Overrated too.
I'm kind of on the fence with that one.
Yeah.
Andy,
I don't know.
My question is, how come Fifth Avenue is not in the bracket?
Because they're on the bubble. They may be in the candy NIT, maybe, possibly.
I love those.
You see, they need a wild card game.
Exactly. Yeah, they need a play, and they need a battle for 128.
I mean, what Mr. Goodbar made it.
Well, yeah, Mr. Goodbar is a classic.
Classic.
Well, you also, you can only make, you can only have 32 candy chocolate bars come in. You know? So the tournament committee fought hard and back and forth for all these things. So basically, it's going to be four polls are going to go up a day. They're only going to be open for 2 days. It's also going to be released on Twitter. So once we get through that, you know, we'll get it down to one, and the champion will be crowned on Easter Sunday. So go like the page, go vote in the polls, and have some fun. Hopefully, your favorite candy is picked, voted the greatest candy.
Not Snickers.
Not Snickers. I honestly think Snickers is going to get knocked out, but it's not going to make the Final Four.
You don't think?
No, I don't think. You got to remember, peanuts are tough, man, because there are people that like peanuts, and there's people that, all these people are allergic to peanuts. And
wouldn't Reese's have a problem then?
It might. All the peanuts candies might have problems. I mean, coconut's going to have a problem, because unless it's Mounds versus Almond Joy, I ain't voting for either of them.
Oh, I love them.
I hate coconut. I'm like Woody Harrelson in Zombieland.
Throw both of them along with the snowballs into a fire and let it all just be consumed.
Same with licorice.
Ugh. Along with every copy of Can't Hardly Wait on DVD, Russell.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead. That's where it deserves to be. It's a trash movie.
Throw all the coconut stuff to me, because I would love getting fat on all of it. So
I'm with you, David. David, give me a pina colada while you're at it.
David, you're saying you love the snowball?
I am not going to make that statement.
You like the snowball times. There, David?
No. I'm going to go with Mounds and Almond Joys. That's what I like.
All right. Well, we're going to go on to our actual questions for the show. we could debate Hostess snacks and candies all day.
Kevin Smith references.
All right, David, let's start with you. Since you're a music guy, you host a great music show here on the Pop Feed Sunday Groove. What's a music trend that needs to go away?
Well, first, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. What needs to go away? Auto-tune. I am shocked that it's still around, and it irritates me still. I mean, I can appreciate it occasionally, but that to me was just like the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking of music trend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a. It had its day, and now it needs to go.
I actually have another one.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to say crappy country songs about drinking, like just the generic like Red Solo Cup and all that garbage. I know that's old, but just that gets on my nerves.
Well, you're not a fan of Alcohol by Brad Paisley?
No, I'm not. Or the worst one to me was I'm pretty good at drinking beer. That song, I know that's probably almost 10 years old, but that one was just so garbage. I'm like, that's something to brag about.
Beer for my horses.
Oh.
Whiskey for my men. I mean, Willie Nelson was in that song at least.
Well, I mean, like when it gets to the old school country, I'm not anti-alcohol in country. That would get rid of most of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the stupid ones, like the more modern Toby Keith kind of crap. That's just annoys me.
Yeah, I guess you don't like him now. I get it. How do you like me now? Anyway, Jason, what about you? What's the music?
Knee
slapper.
I can do without like all these semi-irrelevant artists starting beef with each other to promote themselves.
Yeah,
no one cares about them anymore.
Like the Twitter wars.
I saw something the other day where the singer of like Slipknot was calling Imagine Dragons trash.
Like, why?
Why? What's the point?
Is he wrong?
First of all, they're okay. And who cares about Slipknot?
No.
I don't. I never did.
Their old stuff's pretty good.
Someone made a joke the other day that made me laugh. Slipknot is just Korn with
with the masks, whatever they are.
Yeah, some. But the way they called the masks.
Oh, all right. Well, all right. Russell, what about you? What's a music trend you want to see go away?
The Imagine Dragon.
That first album was good.
The Imagine Dragon is a no longer mythical beast that has come out and basically taken over a lot of rock bands in the modern era. And the Imagine Dragon uses trap beats, lazy programming, and all this other stuff that just has no place really with the rock community. They just use it because it sells.
Yeah.
And it gets them album sales because they're maybe their sales are lagging. Maybe they're not getting what they want out of it. A clear example of this right now would probably be Bring Me the Horizon, who used to be a deathcore band and is now a techno synth pop band. How do you go from one to the other in just a single album? Well, listen to them. They'll show you how they did it.
it's very jarring, for sure.
It is. If dubstep sounds like robots having sex, the Imagine Dragon sounds like fat robots having sex. It's slowed down. It's so boring. Like, it will put you to sleep. I don't get why this is such a popular thing anymore. And, you know, it's – I don't have anything against trap music. I think trap music is great for trap artists. I think trap artists are the ones who know how to do it well. When you have artists like these trying to do trap music, it sounds like a rock band trying to be a trap artist, and it doesn't work. It's like you're appropriating someone else's musical culture, and you're doing it poorly. So how about just stop and find what you want to say? Find your voice. But if you don't have anything to say, then sit down and shut up.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of things I want to see. I want to see Kanye West go away. That's not like a music trend. I just want to see him go away.
I would like that. But, I would like College Dropout Kanye to come back.
Yes. Like, he did that video with that chick from Clueless.
Yeah. Like, if College Dropout Kanye came back, I'm on board. I'm like, that's the Kanye that I know and love. Whatever has happened to him just seems to happen in that Kardashian house, man.
Yeah, I'm good through Graduation or 808s. So I can even take part of it. But after that, there was like a couple songs, but not in about 7 years, it seems like.
Yeah,
he's ever since Kim got in his life, I don't want to blame it on her because he was already kind of trending that way. But it's like suddenly he didn't have anybody around him saying, you know, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, he just had surrounded with, fame whores and. No, and yes men, basically, you know.
I mean, he's already alienated himself from Jay-Z and Beyonce by all the stupid stuff that he says. So, you know, you had like the power couple in rap and R&B, you know, at your side, like you were right there with them. And then, you know what? You talk about blowing it.
Yeah.
this dude has destroyed his own career, and he could. You know, conceivably bring it back because, truth be told, Kanye is still a hell of a producer. You get him in there and have him work with other people, he can make hits. It's just, as a person, he's hard to take.
Yeah, and another trend, like you're talking about Imagine Dragons, I just don't like it when it seems like, you know, when Smash Mouth came out with All Star, it was like, you know, okay, they're just basically selling out right away. This song is being made to be in movies and played at stadiums, and nowadays you seem like all these songs are being made to be in movie trailers and what have you, and it's like, you know, we don't need that. I mean, you know, make your song to make your song. It's, you know, it doesn't need to be in, you know, we don't need every song to be in a trailer these days, and it sounds like a lot of songs are just being produced for that fact, that you want to hear it at the end of a streaming show, or you want to hear it in, you know, your movie trailer and kind of getting played out. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we'll move on to Star versus Star. Jason, let's go. Liam Neeson or Pierce Brosnan? Whose movie would you like to go see right now?
So, timely with this with this choice of Liam Neeson.
Well, yeah. Well, we're taking that other stuff out of it for
okay. If we're completely ignoring that, it's Liam Neeson 1,000 times. Okay. Over Pierce Brosnan, 100%.
Why?
Because he's awesome.
Okay.
Because you took his daughter, he's going to find you and he's going to kill you. And it doesn't matter if you're a wolf, he's going to kill you.
All right. David, what about you?
Well, as long as we put the current stuff or more recent stuff aside, like, I'll watch him avenge anybody. Like, I think I'm stealing this from Nick, but I still like the idea, is let's make Love Actually 2 and have somebody mess with that kid and have him just murder everybody.
I love it.
I would watch that. I think it's Nick, so I'll give him credit. But yeah, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. Like, I know Greg and I watched Cold Pursuit, I think, opening weekend. Like, I love seeing him do those kind of movies. And a lot of them aren't that great, but they're entertaining usually. And
he's good at it.
I mean, I love Pierce Brosnan back in the day, like GoldenEye and all that stuff. And I'm sure he still does some great stuff. But if I got to pick between them, I'm going to go Liam.
All right. Russell, what about you?
When it comes to the movies, I guess we'll call this one maybe a clean sweep, because I'm going to go with Liam Neeson as well. Cold Pursuit is one I definitely want to see. I also want to see Widows. I thought that looked really good. Nonstop was the commuter too. But also remember that he was in Schindler's List, for God's sake. The man does great flicks.
And Qui-Gon.
Oh, yes. Star Wars. How about some Star Wars Episode One? As an actor, I'm going to go Liam Neeson. As a human being, I think I would rather hang out with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Okay. We'll put that. I actually love Pierce Brosnan these days because he's just chewing it up. I mean, The Foreigner was okay, but he played this, like, he got to really have his Irish brogue on. And he was just flinging that all over the place, you know. That was I thought it was fun. I did see The Commuter. I thought it was a movie pass movie. Thank God.
Yeah, it was like it's not bad enough to insult. It's not good enough for me to recommend. It's just a movie that exists that I saw.
Yes.
Right.
And you know, even though I don't really get the appeal, I was dragged to Mamma Mia 2. You know, he looked like he was having Pierce Brosnan looked like he was having a lot of fun with everybody else, and you know, how bad could it be? You sing along to ABBA songs and you're shooting like what, the Greek Isles or wherever the hell they shot the damn thing.
Dante's Peak.
There you go. That is a fantastic film that I think was better than Volcano, which came out in the same year.
You know what he was good in too was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
He's the. You know, he plays against type in that movie. Like, you're expecting the new boyfriend that you're just supposed to hate, but then when he's on screen, it's like, I don't hate this dude.
Yeah. he calls Robin Williams a loser at one point, but
he wasn't really wrong.
when you
think about the situation from his vantage point, he ain't wrong.
that's true. The guy was out of work and just got divorced and, you know, now working as a shipping clerk.
Yeah, given the information he has at the time, but the thing is, he was really great to Sally Field and to the kids.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Never mistreated anybody.
So. Yeah, and he was redoing that place, making a B&B.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was turning out to be just an all-around good dude who just happens to be the new boyfriend.
That's true. All right, Russell, we'll stay with you. Name some of your favorite character actors.
I got two Steves for this one.
All right.
Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
And Stephen Tobolowsky.
Ah.
Or Tobolowsky.
Good old Tobo, yes.
Yeah, who everyone will remember as Ned Ryerson.
Phil Connors?
Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High.
That's right. No matter what, he shows up, he could be on there for 5 minutes. He's just awesome.
He's that guy. Every time I see him, he's like, that guy. Or Ned. I just refer to him as Ned.
And he's actually an awesome storyteller. Now, I don't really like to recommend shows outside of the nation, but if you ever look on iTunes for the Tobolowsky Files, he tells stories about his life, and you could just listen to him basically read his grocery list. How he is so engaging, and these are really interesting stories about his life that I would actually definitely recommend. If you're a fan of his work, I would seek it out. And Buscemi is just, you know, he's got that.
It doesn't matter what he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the movie completely sucks, if Steve Buscemi is in it, it's going to be worth seeing at least his scenes, because he's going to do something that's going to like stick out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. David, what about you?
I'll be honest. I was having a hard time coming up with much. Would Christian Bell fall in that category? Because I know he really goes into his stuff.
Well, yeah.
His prep such and everything.
He's more of a leading man. Yeah, he's more of a leading man. These are like the, hey, that guy kind of things, like your Danny Trejos and stuff. Yeah.
See, I was thinking of like people like what's his name that goes like the one that just played Lincoln. That was the one.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I was thinking that type of actor. Just like those guys.
Yeah, like you know, your Philip Seymour Hoffman, William H. Macy's, those kind of guys.
Oh. Come back to me. Give me a second. I come up with something.
All right, Jason. We'll give you a pause. Jason, what about you?
Peter Stormare.
Oh, yes.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Armageddon.
Yes. I'm sure Russell has probably seen this. Maybe even David. I don't know. Andy, maybe. Constantine?
No. Him? I've never seen Constantine.
Russell, have you?
Constantine?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
As the devil?
Yeah, he was great.
Was amazing.
I will defend that movie.
I will too.
Even when I'm getting like I really risk my comic book cred here whenever I'm defending the Keanu Reeves Constantine, because it's
great.
It's nothing like the Hellblazer comics, and yet for some reason I still watch this movie and just have so much fun with it.
So good.
Between like Keanu's delivery of the character is actually like this like level of cynical that I love seeing from him, and Gavin Rosdell is a breakout in that movie.
Wow.
He is as Balthazar.
He's the best person ever on Earth.
Yeah, he really surprised me a lot with that movie. I thought he was just going to suck completely, but nah, he could deliver. And it really sucks that his movie career just pretty much lived and died with that film.
He only did two movies. Maybe he had an on-screen role in a few, but like as a character, he only had really two movies. That one and a direct-to-DVD one that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he did an episode of Criminal Minds where he played a rock singer that was actually really good.
Not playing anyway. Against type in that one.
I know, that was a big stretch.
But yeah, Peter Stormare.
Okay.
Like I said, Constantine. He was great on Prison Break, if you guys ever watched that show.
A little bit, yeah.
There's also this indie movie called Happy Campers where he plays the lead camper, the lead counselor, that I highly recommend that no one's ever seen. If you can find it, check it out. Also, another actress from Constantine, Tilda Swinton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she is very good in most things she's in.
Amazing. I don't think I've ever seen her pull a bad performance. And she's one of those, like, oh, yeah, her.
Yeah, she was in that, what's her face, Jesus.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah, she was in Doctor Strange. She was also in that Amy Schumer movie, right? Wasn't she in that one where she played her boss or something like that?
I haven't seen any of the Amy Schumer movies. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she is the boss in Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, yeah.
I own that, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's
very good,
and it's quite Tilda Swinton, actually. Usually, she plays
Bill Hader's in that, isn't he?
Yes, Bill Hader, who is great, also.
Bill Hader is great in everything.
Mm-hmm. He's another good character actor. Like I think of him as one of those. So Bill Hader would be a great pick.
Did anyone watch SNL on Saturday?
No,
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard everybody talking about how great it was.
Bill Hader.
Yeah, I miss him on the show.
Remember Stefan?
Yes. I mean, anybody that comes up with an Alan Alda impression, I'm like, I do voices, and you know, I did stand up briefly in college, but I'm never. Let me think. Who would be a great voice to do? Alan Alda. I mean, you're at a party. Let me whip out my Alan Alda impression for you. Forget about my Rodney Dangerfield or, you know, let's do Alan Alda. And he does it spot on, though. That's the funny part.
Oh, it's so great. I love the character he did on SNL, the old reporter.
Yeah.
Hitting the people in the face of the mic.
Look up, when you get a chance, look up Bill Hader doing his impression of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. It is one of the funniest things.
All right.
Remind me afterward.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go, well, I had Stephen Tobolowsky on my list. I also have Conchata Farrell, as I would say. She's most known as Berta on Two and a Half Men, who she just comes in, gives that line in, and just goes away. And just has like usually the funniest line of the whole show. But she's
There's
been
a funny line on that show?
Yes. I actually like that show. but she's been in other things like that really crappy remake of Mr. Deeds. You know, she has a few scenes in that. She's good. Now she's also good on she was in Beetlejuice. Not Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands.
There you go. She's really good in that. She was good in Mr. Deeds, but you know what? I low-key like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too.
Also Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, it's Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes, come on.
Oh, yeah.
And John Turturro, too. I'm a very sneaky sir. Oh, that's my name. Oh,
there's another great character actor is John Turturro.
Mm-hmm. Mm. One of the few good things about the Transformers movies.
Yes.
What was it, The secret window.
Oh yeah.
He stole my story.
You know, it's a movie.
Good thing in that movie.
That yeah, pretty much. I don't know if you guys have ever any of you guys have heard of it. It's called Brain Donors. Ever hear of the movie?
I don't know that one.
So it's basically like a remake of I think Night at the Opera of a Marx Bros movie, and the comedian Mel Smith is in it. He played the albino in Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
So he's the Zeppo. Then you have the great Bob Nelson, the comedian. I don't know if you guys know that guy. No. He was the guy that did the Football Players. No? Look up Bob Nelson Football Players on the YouTube, and trust me, you'll crack up. He plays the Harpo, and John Turturro plays the Groucho, basically. Fast talking and everything. Yeah, it's Brain Donors. It came out, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s, and it's actually really funny. It's like up there with like 100 Girls, like how all those like, you know, movies that came and went and, you know, the people that actually did see it, like 100 Girls.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
John Tucker.
Yes, and Emmanuel Sharik.
Yes. And my forever celebrity crush, Larissa Olenek.
Oh, okay.
Alex Mack, for those who doesn't know who that is.
Oh,
now I remember her.
Yeah, she was in 10 Things I Hate About You, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Dave, I've given you enough time. You come up with...
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Well, first, I know both these guys are more lead men normally, but the reason why I'm picking them is more for their little moments. I love Walton Goggins. I know he's more of a bad guy most every
time. Oh, yeah.
He's great.
If you see American Ultra, he has a very small part in it. But he just kills it. He's got a character called Laffer, and he literally goes, you know, the wheezy laugh.
Is that that Jesse Eisenberg movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I have it in my DVR. I still have to watch it.
But I love him in it. So John Cena when he was in Trainwreck.
Yes.
I think he stole that movie, especially that scene.
He was funny in Sisters also.
He was great in Daddy's Home too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, it's great.
He shows up at the end of the first one.
Daddy's Home 2 is added to my Christmas must-watch list.
Ah.
Nice. And then I know we mentioned it, I think, off-air, but Paul Rudd, when he would just pop in on, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
he could just steal it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta love some Paul Rudd anytime he shows up. You know, even if
it's argument for me.
Yeah.
I will say this about Walton Goggins, though.
Downtown?
No. What? From Major League back to the minors?
Yes.
Walton Goggins of Major League back to the minors. And he was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was also in that Predators movie, right? When they dropped up a juiced-up Adrian Brody amongst other people on a planet full of Predators. I don't know if you guys saw that one.
Yeah. That's another one that I like. I low key defend as not being nearly as bad as people make it out to be until the end when it just kind of becomes a shot for shot remake of the original.
Yeah, it kind of does. I was going to say also, he was a leading man and now he's become more of a character. I got to say, Alec Baldwin, when he shows up sometimes in a small role, I mean, what was it? Along Came Polly? I think it was he played like his boss or something like that. I thought he was friggin' hysterical in that movie.
Yeah, I dig on Baldwin. I like how he's transitioned in his career from being like the lead guy to just kind of being that strong support role. Like he's capable of playing a role like that from Long Camp Holly, or playing kind of sort of MacGuffin role like in the Mission Impossible films.
That's what I was just about to say that, yeah.
The Departed.
Mm-hmm. And The Departed was a great role for him. Love seeing him play with he and Mark Wahlberg, like bouncing little barbs back and forth at each other, mm-hmm. without ever like really raising their voice. It's freaking great.
And of course, one of JT's favorite movies, It's Complicated.
Do you keep a rolling thing on everybody's favorite things, or you just have like a steel trap memory?
Listen, he talks about it constantly. It's kind of hard not to know.
All right, Russell.
Well, of course, and how can we not mention him as Donald Trump?
Well, that's true. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
It's going to be huge. Name.
China.
Russell, give us what are your feelings on when they remake a movie and they, you know, change the gender or change the race? What do you think when they do that? Are you for it? Are you against it? Do you see a purpose?
Typically, I got no issue with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got as long as the movie or TV show is well done, like your actors are really bringing it, you've got a good story to tell, I think I'll probably enjoy it. You know, like an example would be, you know, this is a terrible movie, but Michael B. Jordan was cast as Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four reboot. Mm-hmm. He was good in a completely garbage film.
Oh, yeah. What a shit movie that was.
Yeah, I have yet to see it.
Don't.
It's tough to sit through. It's not something that I recommend you do.
Is it the actor's fault? Any of them?
No, it's
the screenwriters,
editing, directing, pretty much
everything but the actors.
Everyone but the cast.
Okay.
And it's also kind of, we're also kind of skipping a character with the upcoming Captain Marvel. They're not going to show you the original Mar-Vell, I don't think. I mean, if he's in the movie, he'll probably only be there very briefly. But honestly, he's a boring as fuck character, so who cares? Go straight to Carol Danvers. She's much more interesting. And I'll even take you one further, or two further. I think that the world is ready for a black Batman or a black Superman.
Oh, yeah, or a black James Bond.
Black James Bond would be another one. Like,
isn't that happening?
It's been rumored for years, but who knows if they'll pull the trigger.
Yes, yeah, it's one of those that we just keep waiting for somebody to just actually do it.
Well, he'd be perfect.
Well, Idris Elba, yeah.
I mean, you find somebody who's built like Idris Elba, I think you put them in any superhero role and they're going to pull it off.
Yeah.
He can't play all the roles. But he would be great as Bond. He would be, I think he'd be killer as like maybe an older Bruce Wayne. Like you cast
think,
him as.
Do you think the MCU wasted him in the role they gave him?
Actually, I think he elevated the role of Heimdall.
Oh, 100%.
Like, oh, yeah.
He took a role that could have just been like nothing and turned it into something that made that character feel more interesting to me. So now whenever I'm reading Heimdall in the comics, I want him to be more Idris Elba. that's a character that really needed some kind of a boost, and I feel like Idris came into that and just really made it his own. I love seeing him on screen, though the sad part is that they appear to have killed him off in Infinity War. But I think the world is also ready for that female Thor like we had in the comics recently. I would love to see something like that happen on screen, so long as we're recasting Jane Foster, because Natalie she phoned it in
she's
every
so pretty.
Appearance. She phoned it in every appearance that she has in the MCU, because clearly she's here just to collect a paycheck. And I think that you can absolutely pull off a recasting of Jane Foster, and nobody would complain.
How about Kat Dennings?
I'm good with it. Okay.
I'm on board.
She was good for what she was.
Kat Dennings can be around all she wants.
Yes.
I have no complaints. None whatsoever. But you know what? Jamie Alexander, who plays Lady Sif, she would make a great female Thor.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. I would watch that all day. I think that would be a killer movie. So if Hemsworth is done, pass it off to Lady Sif.
There you go. Very good. David, what about you?
I'm cool with it as long as, you know, there's a decent story or whatever. I think it's it works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work. I was thinking about Death at a Funeral. Did any of y'all see either one of those?
No.
Nope.
I like the British one, and I didn't mind the remake. It wasn't anything great, but it was decent.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, you know, did they really need to make what was it, What Men Want? You know? I saw those commercials. I was like, really?
To be fair, did they need to make What Women Want?
Yes. What Women Want is a really good Mel Gibson flick. What Men Want was already made by Dave Chappelle in like season one of Chappelle's Show.
Yes.
And he said that movie would be like 5 minutes long and be too disgusting for anybody to actually watch. And then they did the one elevator scene where this woman could hear all these men's thoughts. And I was like, yep, that's pretty much it. Yeah. There you go. Movie's made. Dave Chappelle's already covered this. Why are we making an actual movie?
Yeah. Jason, what about you?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. As long as, you know, it's a good movie. A bad movie is a bad movie, regardless of casting. No, that's not true. But when it comes to this, when it comes to this instance, it cast whoever. It doesn't bother me. I remember when you were talking about the Fantastic Four, like the nerd uprising from those people who were up in arms about Michael B. Jordan being Human Torch. It was mind-boggling that it's still a thing in like whenever that came out, 2017.
Yeah, or 2015, I think. Yeah, it was a little further back than that. It was just the casting was never the problem in that movie, and I think anybody who saw it knows that. Yeah.
I think I literally said at the end of the movie, "Who wrote this shit?" out loud with my kids sitting next to me. Because there's a scene at the end where the four of them are standing there, and, you know, Miles Teller, who's played Reed Richards, was like, "Oh, you know, they're all talking about, what should we call it?" So, well, them the Fantastic Four. And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" It was like, just, it was horrible.
At that point, it's like,
you're checked out.
It's like, what should you call yourselves? How about Don't Call Us, We'll Call You?
Is it the worst Marvel movie?
Yeah, I think it's going to get that dubious distinction. The worst Marvel movie that's ever actually been released.
Worse than Elektra?
Yeah, I'd sooner watch Elektra again than watch that Fantastic Four movie. And I would even go so far as to say, you know, that Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie looking pretty good right now.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
And that's one of those that never really got released.
Yeah, you can buy it at conventions.
Yeah, it's one of those that there for a while. You could watch it on YouTube.
And, interesting.
Since we got on the Fantastic Four, let's change the order up a little bit. I can do that. I'm the host. Who would you cast as a Fantastic Four when it comes to the MCU? We'll start with you, Russ. Let's go around. We'll go character by character. Let's start with Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. We'll start with you, Russ.
I'm going to preface this with I actively despise Reed Richards as a character, and anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that.
Okay. What is the Twitter handle if you want more followers?
At @Russell_Sellers. You can come there for all the Reed Richard hate you can possibly imagine. And you can see plenty of debates between me and my good buddy Mike. Hey, shout to there, Mike. I hope you're listening to this one, because Reed Richards fucking sucks.
That's harsh, man.
Useless.
Creates
problems just so he can solve them. That's the level of useless we're dealing with. Now, as far as who would play him, I think I feel like I need to set the scene a little bit for my my ideal Fantastic Four movie in the MCU. Since they've already shown that they have no problem going back to like the yesteryear stuff. Like, you think about the beginning of the first Ant-Man movie, and when we go back in time and we see the kind of the early days of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the amazing de-aging effects on Michael Douglas and all that good stuff, kind of showing us that there was stuff happening in this universe before, you know, the reemergence of Captain America, before Iron Man, all that. There were other superheroes running around, just nobody knew about them. I would like a Fantastic Four movie in the MCU to be set in the 1960s as a period piece, starring John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Ooh, that's a good one. Wow. All right, David, what about you? Who would you cast as Reed Richards?
I only thought of, just as a joke, but John Cena.
Why does Reed Richards look like Captain America? What?
I really don't have a real answer there. That was just something that came to mind.
All right, Jason.
I was thinking more like, I do love the John Krasinski idea. That's actually brilliant, and I'm upset. I didn't think of that myself, but I was thinking more like they were going to introduce them and they were going to be younger. And I went with Sam Claflin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. Do you guys know who this is?
I'm not familiar.
Was he in a Hunger Games or something?
Yeah, he was in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, he was in the second one, right?
Yeah, he was really good in that. He was also in Me Before You and one of the Snow White movies.
Oh, the Huntsman thing?
Yeah. He's a really good actor, and I think he has a certain, like, poise about him that he would make a good Reed Richards. I don't hate him as much as Russell does. I think he's fine.
I'm actually going to go with one of my favorite actors, and probably could have mentioned him during the character actor thing, Timothy Oliphant.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
I think he's another one. Like, if he shows up in a movie, or I have Deadwood. I gave it to my dad on Blu-ray a few years ago. That's one of those series like I really need to get into, and also need to watch Justified. Movie? Well, if I got to watch the show first, all three seasons, I got to binge those fuckers, you know, just to get caught up. Yeah. But yeah, I love him. If you guys watch Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix, he is so good in that. I can't wait for the season three to drop, actually later this month. All right, so let's move on to the Invisible Girl, Sue Storm. David, do you have a Sue Storm in mind?
Not off the top of my head, sorry.
That's okay.
Didn't get that far.
Okay. What about Jason, what about you?
I went with the Fantastic Beasts movie, who played Queenie.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Allison Sudol.
Yeah, she's good.
I think she'd be great as Sue Storm.
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll say I don't hate that idea.
No. What about you, Russell? What do you say for Sue Storm?
John Krasinski's actual wife, Emily Blunt.
Again, great choice.
I was actually thinking Alicia Cuthbert.
All right. Oh. I can get into that. Another Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, from Girl Next Door.
Girl Next Door. I love that movie.
It's a lot of fun. It's Klitzy with a K, you know?
Tripod, sir. Tripod.
What about Lauren Cohen from Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good too.
Yeah, she's a good actress. Yeah, that's not a bad one. Okay, well, we talked about the Human Torch earlier. We'll start with you, Jason. Who do you think could be the new Human Torch?
So, I don't know. Do we have Walking Dead fans here?
I am.
Yeah, I still like it pretty well.
He just came in last season. But for some reason, I think he would make a great Human Torch. I haven't seen him play Kahi, but I have a feeling he could pull it off. He plays, what's his character's name? Alden in Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the former savior.
Yeah, Callan McAuliffe. I'm sure I shattered that name. I think he would make a really good Human Torch. He looks like he could pull off Cocky really well.
Hmm. All right. Russell, what about you?
This will probably be the one that gets the most eye rolls for a pick, but I think the guy could pull it off, Zac Efron.
Oh, my God. I actually had that one, too.
I am a Zac Efron stan, and I'll stand by that. Good choice. Right.
Yes. If you listen to the first that great debate, we had a lot of Zac Efron talk, because thanks to Jason.
17 again is an underrated gem.
Yeah, he's one of those that I feel like he would look a lot like, you know, an actual brother to Emily Blunt, and could pull off this role in a way that, you know, feels very familiar to comic book fans. And if it's a 60s period piece, I think that he looks like he could, you know, fit right in with that. And also, Reed Richards should always have great temples.
Yes. All right. David, do you have a Human Torch?
I don't.
Okay. That's all right. Usually, sometimes it comes to you like a few minutes after we start talking.
Right. It might.
All right. Cool. The Thing. Let's start with you, Russell. Who do you think could pull off The Thing?
I'm not even kidding. John Cena.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, I mean, you don't have to have makeup and all that. You could just do the voice like Groot or Rocket, you know.
Yeah, I just think that he's got the gift of the comedy. He can like roll it off really easily. Naturally jacked, so it's pretty easy to just, you know, paint the orange rocks on him if you want and go with that. Go more practical effects with him, and he's a big enough dude that you can actually do it. Nobody's really going to be able to top Michael Chiklis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
So we're just going to have to go ahead and acknowledge that. The guy in the Fantastic Four reboot was given basically nothing.
Yeah.
And he played a nothing version of The Thing, for my money. Like, it was a version of The Thing I didn't even recognize. He just looked like a giant rock monster who is poorly CGI'd. But when I look at Cena, I'm thinking, you know what? I really believe he could pull off that role.
Yeah.
I think that he's built for it. He's got the kind of demeanor of someone who could play Ben Grimm and do it in a very believable way. And the guy's just got great timing. So, to me, he seems ideal.
Ah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I was going to go with, if it's just a voice, Jay Moore. I think he's got the he could get the comedy, and he can do, like, you know, he can change up his voice. What about you, Jason?
I had I struggled with this one quite a bit. I was trying to think of someone who was not Michael Chiklis with that kind of build.
Yeah,
and I couldn't think of anyone. I didn't even think of John Cena. That's perfect. You just cast it the perfect Fantastic Four film.
Yeah.
I actually went with Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. I think he'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, who thought Bradley Cooper could pull off Rocket, so...
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on to the next question. You got one?
Michael Cudlitz, who played Abraham.
Oh yes! Good
one. Great.
Yeah, he's actually...
He's got great timing and a pretty stocky build, so...
Yeah.
I think you can pull it off.
Were you trying to make pancakes when you were pouring the Bisquick? He had so many. They used to call him, what was it, Abrahamisms or something like that?
Yes.
Those were great on the show. I do miss that character.
He was fantastic.
All right. Well,
him and Eugene had amazing chemistry, and that was that's very much missed.
Oh yeah, yeah. That Eugene tries to be Eugene, just without Abraham to play off of. It's just not the same.
Plus, he needs to watch somebody have sex. I mean, he used to have. He used to watch Rosita and Abraham all the time, and it was, you know, weird but funny.
All right,
isn't he actually having sex with someone on the show now?
No,
not where I've been watching. I'm two episodes behind, but I don't. He's had sex on the show.
I don't know. I don't really care. Walking Dead lost me at the end of the last season.
I at this point, it's losing me, but I've been with it so long, I'm just going to stick it out.
Yeah. It's your completist.
Yeah.
All right, so Dave, we're going to start with you for our final question of the evening.
But hold on, did no one do Doctor Doom?
Oh, I didn't.
I did the Doctor Doom.
Oh, I didn't even think. All right, let me ask the comic experts. Does Doctor Doom need to be the villain in the first one?
You know, I'm tempted to say yes, just for the establishment, but he's been the villain in every Fantastic Four movie that's been made, and they have never gotten him right. They have always screwed it up so completely that I'm tempted to say, let's try something else.
Okay.
But for a beginning, it makes the most sense to have Dr. Doom there, and there's really only one man for the job.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. So I can hear him say, "You will suffer at the hands of my Doombots."
It's the Doom. Ah.
Send in the Doombots. That's the. I really got nothing. As far as like who would be a really good Dr. Doom, that's tough because everybody that has, you know, taken it on has just not gotten it. And I'm afraid to just hand it off to anybody else, although it would be interesting to see Christian Bale play a villain role.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be down to see something like that. I think he'd be a really interesting Doctor Doom. But other than that, I don't really got anybody in mind. I say just open casting call and see who can really pull off feeling like playing a dictator. That's what I want to see. I want to see a third person speaking dictator.
Jason, what do you have for Doctor Doom?
I actually picked Jamie Dornan. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
I know the name.
He's the 50 Shades guy.
Oh, he was the sheriff on Once Upon a Time.
Sure.
That was a good show for the first couple of seasons.
I just think he has a good look for him. I mean, acting abilities, whatever. I just think he has a good look.
I think
he would pull it off, look wise.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. So moving on to our final question. David, give a cover of an older song that you like just as much as the original, if not more.
Okay, both of these I can't say I like more than the original, but I liked both of them a lot. That is Gaslight Anthem covering Tom Petty's You Got Lucky.
Okay.
I thought that was really good. And then recently I watched a YouTube clip of Chris Stapleton, Sheryl Crow, and Brandon Flowers doing a Beatles song.
From The Killers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't Let Me Down is the one they covered, and that was killer. I can't remember who the musicians were, like as far as one of the instruments, but it was a really good cover. I was very impressed.
Oh.
And Chris Stapleton's an incredible singer, so I'll listen to most anything he does.
All right, cool. Russ, what about you?
This is a tough one because there's actually several that I had written down.
Okay.
And I'll give the controversial one. I think Hole's cover of Fleetwood Mac's Goldust Woman is better than Fleetwood Mac's.
I'm with you.
I love the energy in it, and of course there are a couple of other less controversial. The Byrds cover of Mr. Tambourine Man, I think is a much better than Dylan's. And Nirvana's cover of Lead Belly's Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Jason, what about you?
There's so many good covers, like so many. It's really hard to choose just a couple. I like Sia Farris' version of Come On, Eileen. I've always loved that song. Orgies, Blue Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad.
That was fun.
Yeah. There's just so many good covers. Like I love all those terrible pop ghost punk CDs. Like there was a yellow card version of the Michelle Branch song Everywhere. That's really good.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, look it up. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I had It's My Life by No Doubt. Well, I mean, I like the talk one. I just think that this one's a better song, in my opinion. That's all.
I'm just not a big Gwen Stefani fan.
And Keep Me Hanging On by Kim Wilde. I liked it better than the Supremes version.
Mm-hmm.
How about Joe Cocker's cover of With a Little Help from My Friends?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's vastly different from the original version of the song, of course, but... I feel like it's more emotional than what the Beatles were putting out there. Even though the song is great in its original incarnation, but man, his cover of it was just killer.
Do you know what else is a good cover? Creed doing 18.
I didn't dislike it, but at the time,
I was kidding.
It's so another bad.
Really
good too.
Another Brick in the Wall by Class of 99.
What'd you guys think of the Weezer cover of Africa?
That it sounded exactly like the Toto version, but Rivers Cuomo singing it.
I will say this, it did bring us that genius Matt Damon Weezer skit on SNL, so I'm happy with it.
Ah,
I was with that, but yeah, the cover was very bland. And
did anyone hear any of the other covers on the album?
Yeah, and other than the TLC cover, it just sucked. I mean, but Weezer has pretty much sucked since after the everything after the Blue Album. Let's be honest.
You're on the Leslie Jones camp.
They're terrible.
Hold on, Porking Beat is actually a really good song, though.
You didn't like the Green Album?
I'm not, I don't care.
The Green Album does not age well.
Really?
It is the definition of like that year's bubblegum pop. It does not hold up at all. Every one of those songs are just painfully forgettable. It's got nothing for me. I mean, the closest thing they had to something for me post Blue was a few songs from Maladroit. Beyond that, they got nothing. I got no time for Weezer, but I tried out the Teal album because it was like, okay, well, this is going to be a fun little like cover thing. Let's see how Weezer's up some of these covers. And then they didn't. They just played them verbatim, like as they were originally written. Added nothing to it, and I was like, well, this was a big old waste of time.
I would also like to add two more, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going back to a movie that you mentioned earlier, Russell, No Big Fish doing Take On Me.
Hey, that's a good cover.
Yeah.
And from a soundtrack for Not Another Teen Movie, the band Stabbing Westward doing the song Bizarre Love Triangle. It's an unheralded gem.
That's one I'll have to go back and listen to because it doesn't,
so good.
That doesn't ring any bells. But
yeah, I don't even think it was in the movie, but it's on the soundtrack, and I love, love, love that song.
I got you.
You guys, anybody watch Westworld? Not there. I've watched every episode. I still don't know what the fuck is going on, but
no one does.
but they always have like that old timey cover of like, you know, Black Hole Sun or other. They have it playing like on the. Like the piano, the player piano, whatever they call it. So
yeah, it's player piano.
Yeah, so yeah. It's usually a different cover of a different song. Usually, you're trying to pick it out.
There was Nirvana's Heart Shaped Box was used in that. That was that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Black Hole Sun was awesome. I need to actually watch season two, so I can pick out whatever they used in that. But season one had a strong soundtrack, and it was one of those shows that as I was watching it week to week, I just thought, man, this would be a lot better if I just binged it all back to back and maybe I wouldn't get lost.
Yeah,
right.
I couldn't even tell. I was so confused by season two that I can't remember any of the songs. It's like all those, like, and also sometimes it's like late at night after like a long day, and it's like when you really have to think, it's kind of like tough to retain.
Yes.
Stuff,
yeah, Westworld's one of those shows I save for like a day where I can be fully alert to watch it, because otherwise I'm going to miss so much.
Yeah, there's so much going on. But awesome, guys. Good job with the questions here. Now we're going to move on to the rapid fire round questions. And I'm going to give a shout out to my producer. I'm going to do it however I want. So a little behind the inside joke there between me and a certain somebody. But I know he's going to listen at some point, and then I'll hear it from him. So anyway, I don't care. So basically, what we do is it's a this or that kind of question. And also, we have a Facebook page. So don't forget, go like the PTBN Pop's Great Debate. Every day, there's at least two polls. There's a pop culture poll in the morning, and at night, we do a wrestling poll. Don't know what tonight's wrestling poll is going to be yet, but it'll get up there at some point. Today was the, I believe it was Lay's versus Ruffles. Did you guys, any of you guys vote today?
I did, and I picked Ruffles, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, Ruffles all the way.
Yeah, Ruffles.
I generally love Ruffles, but lately I've come to love Lay's, like just the plain Lay's.
I think Lay's is a good chip, but it can't hold up to dip, which is where
exactly
for sure.
Where Ruffles wins out every time. So I'll give you guys a preview of tomorrow's question, because I don't know exactly when this is going to get posted, but tomorrow's going to be your favorite Jurassic Park dinosaur. We're going to go with the T-Rex or the Velociraptor.
Velociraptor.
I don't know. The T-Rex made it through all the movies so far.
True.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go with the T-Rex because the Raptors have just gotten so played out and overdone. And come on, a Velociraptor was not 6 feet tall.
That's true. All right, but enough about that. Everybody go to the Facebook page and vote in the poll. And, you know, vote for your favorite. Hopefully your favorite comes out on top and have some fun with it. So we're going to start the rapid fire round questions. We're going to start with David, actually. We're going to go with poker or blackjack?
Blackjack.
Blackjack. Jason?
Poker.
Oh, okay. Russell?
Give me a little Texas Hold'em poker.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Blackjack is fun, but it's so fast, and you can lose your money like in an instant if you get like a bad round, a little bad juju on you. Jason, Beavis or Butthead?
Butthead.
Okay. Russell.
How are you going to disrespect Cornholio like that? It's Beavis.
David, what about you?
Beavis.
I'm Don Cahulo. I need TV for my bunghole. Yeah, I always like Beavis better. We'll start with Russell. Fruit Loops or Twix?
Raggy?
Rory. Fruit Loops or Trix?
Old Trix or new Trix?
Whichever Trix you want.
If we're talking about the ones that were not shaped like actual fruit, then I'm going to go with Trix.
Ah, okay. Sorry, my dog's been snoring in the background. David, what about you? Fruit Loops or Trix?
I haven't had Trix in forever, so I'm going to go with Fruit Loops.
All right. Jason, what about you?
Fruit Loops, and it's not even close.
All right. David, a couple of Harrison Ford roles. Han Solo or Indiana Jones?
Oh, that's painful. I'm going to go Indiana Jones because it's what I watched more.
All right. Jason?
Han Solo.
All right, Russell, you're a tiebreaker.
Well, it's going to have to be Han Solo because Indiana Jones gave birth to that whole movie trope of everything would have turned out just fine even without the hero being there. And Han Solo has way more to do. It has some pretty kick-ass memorable lines that are going to be associated with Harrison Ford forever. So it's Solo.
All right. Jason, Pizza Hut or Domino's? If you have to.
Hungry Howie's?
I have no idea what that is. So. It's only two choices.
Can I say DiGiorno?
The hell's wrong with you?
I know. It's Pizza Domino's. Hut or Domino's?
Domino's.
Okay.
Domino's because you can flavor the crust, Domino's.
Okay. Russell.
That Domino's thin crust all day, every day.
All right. David?
Domino's.
Wow. Domino's must taste different down there because up here I loved Pizza Hut when I was a kid and in college. I haven't had it in years.
Have you had it recently?
No, I haven't. So.
Okay, incredibly greasy. At least the pan one is now. It's
like in a pool of grease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pizza Hut was the only option whenever I was growing up. And once I got Domino's, I was like, what have I been missing?
All right. Russell, Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera?
Ooh. Christina's going to win this one just on pure actual talent alone. But in recent years, after she had the kid and she got all thick, oh my goodness, it's a win all the way around.
Okay. David.
Off talent, I'm going to have to go to Christina Aguilera.
All right. Jason.
I got to go with Britney, bitch.
All right. David, Survivor or The Amazing Race?
I never watched either one, so that's... what was Amazing Race even about?
It was like globetrotting, where they have to like answer clues and it leads into like the next location. They got to complete tasks, I think.
That sounds more entertaining than Survivor, so I'll go with that, Amazing Race.
All right, Jason.
Hard pass on both. MTV this challenge.
All right, Jason.
I hate them both. Survivor.
You got to pick one or the other. That's kind of what...
In the first episode, I picked the Shaq from the General commercials, all right?
I know. You fail to realize what we're doing here. <All right>. And that was Jason Sherman's last appearance on The Great Debate. Anyway, Russell, what do you say? Survivor.
I picked Survivor. Give me a break.
Okay.
You know what? My girlfriend absolutely loves Survivor. It's one of her all-time favorite shows, and watching her get really into something is just all sorts of entertainment in and of itself, so I'm going to go with Survivor.
Yeah, I actually never really watched Amazing Race. I love Survivor the first couple of seasons. They're a lot of fun characters. All right, so we leave. Jason, Woody or Buzz Lightyear?
Woody.
All right. Russell?
I got a Woody.
David?
Woody.
Wow, no love for Buzz, huh?
It's more or less my aversion to all things Tim Allen.
if Rex was a choice, I would have picked Rex.
Well, we could do a Rex versus Potato Head at some point.
Wallace Shawn, man. Come on.
I know that. Yeah. Russ. All right. Russ, bacon or sausage?
I'm going bacon. Extra crispy.
There you go. David?
Bacon all day.
All right. Jason?
Clean sweep with bacon.
Everything's better with bacon.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay, finally, David, the Avengers or the X-Men?
Ooh, based on the movies, I'm going to go Avengers, but generally, like, it's what I read was X-Men.
All right. Jason?
I'm going to say X-Men, and the only reason I'm saying X-Men is because of the animated series.
All right. Russell?
When it comes to overall quality over the years, having read a lot of classic Avengers now and a lot of classic X-Men, plus factoring in animated shows and movies, X-Men wins.
All right. Awesome rapid fire round, guys. Thanks a lot. So let's go around the horn, and let's see what everybody's got coming up. So we're going to start with Russell. Russell, what's coming up in your podcast world?
Well, you guys can be on the lookout for some more Marvel Age coming up pretty soon. You'll also want to go check out the end of 1969, as we have finally reached the end of a decade. So that episode just dropped recently, so you'll be able to find that right now. New episode of DC Post-Crisis Management coming up really soon as well. I just recorded one with Jennifer Smith talking about the 2011 event Flashpoint, which gave a big old hard reset to the DC Universe. A new episode of 90 to Nothing with a movie that you'll just have to listen to the episode to hear what we're doing. We've been keeping it under wraps, but that'll be coming in the very near future as well.
Awesome. David, what's going on over there at Sunday Groove?
Well, I think we're scheduled for mid-month. Jason and I just recorded a second half of 98 to 2003 Nostalgia. And so I'm looking forward to that one coming out. And hopefully the next month or soon after, Todd and I are going to be doing an REM episode on Sunday Groove.
Cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Love REM. Jason, what have you got coming up?
Well, besides the episode of Sunday Groove I just recorded with Mr. Sunday, and starting next week, actually, recording our first episode of the PTBNE Ticket Attraction, which is covering theme parks. Yeah. And the first episode is going to be on the Magic Kingdom. So joining me for that one for sure is Mr. Atherton.
Yes, I will be there.
Neil Trauma.
Okay.
Todd Weber.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Chad Campbell? Don't know for sure yet. We'll see.
Chad's a white whale that you want to catch if you can.
he's like Nessie.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be recording next week. I'm not sure exactly when it will be out, but I'm looking forward to it, and I hope everyone gives it a listen.
All right, cool. I hope so, too. Yeah. So for me, we have a very special pod blast coming. We have our Candy Tournament Pick'em Show. That's right. Some members of the Candy Tournament Committee are going to go through the matchups and discuss what they think is going to happen in the tournament and give their picks. Also, with Captain Marvel coming out this week, I'm sure there's going to be lots of content. I'm sure Greg and Nick are going to be covering a lot of that over on HTF, the Hard Traveling Fanboys. Also, there will be a comic book guy's review of a Captain Marvel podcast coming probably early next week. Also next week we have Year in Pop, 1974 will be recorded.
And the old cast?
Yes, the old cast, Jason. Thank you. You have to say that every time you're on this show.
Because it's funny.
Yes. No, wait till D'Amato. Wait till D'Amato gets a hold of you. And then also coming up, we have a couple of episodes of Laughing Theater that are set to be recorded later this month. So I'm not sure when those are going to drop, but those should be a lot of fun with a couple of guys that I always enjoy talking to. Well, one I've never talked to before, but it'd be nice to finally get them on a show. All right. So also make sure you go check out the website, policemannation.com. Also check out our pro boards over at bigelow34.proboards.com. And also come in and check out all of our shows on both feeds. We have the PTVN Pop feed, which you can hear all the gentlemen on the show. And also we have the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which a lot of great content over there. There should be a new Place to Be podcast coming. There should be a main event coming soon. Lots of fun content over there. So check it out. So thank you, everybody, for joining me on Great Debate number 4. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys showing up and taking some time out of your busy days. For Russell Sellers, David Sunday, and Jason Sherman, I'm Andy Atherton. So thank you for joining us in the Great Debate, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Oh God.